Going to let our children at this point head on out for their program. They've been going out. Hey, I'm a little hot in the monitor here. The children have been going out all night long. This is the kids who've been going up. This isn't the teenagers. This is the children up through the sixth grade. I think they've been going out, having a good time with the program. All right, take your Bibles this evening. And I'd love to take a few minutes tonight to look at a passage of Scripture. A few nights ago, we were in James chapter number 3. Tonight, we're going to just pick up with the very next verse in James chapter number 4, verse number 1. James chapter number 4 and verse 1. And what I'm going to share tonight, I'm going to share with you a passage of Scripture that has been an absolute life-changing passage for me. I'm going to have to do something here. I can already tell. This is going to drive me crazy. So I'm going to have to figure out something. I don't know. Let me see. I just don't know if I can handle those things going around and around. There we go. At least kind of move them out of the way. James chapter 4 has been, it's been a life-changing passage. There was something. It all happened in a Bible study that my wife and I did. It was probably 10, 12 years ago. My wife and I were just doing a Bible study together through the book of James. And I'm telling you, we came to this passage of Scripture right here, and it has been life-changing. I venture to say that there's probably not been a week of my life that has gone by since then in which this passage of Scripture hasn't come up. And a question that God used in my life from James chapter number 4. And I want us to look at it tonight. I think it's been life-changing. I think it's been marriage-changing for my wife and I. James chapter number 4, I want us to look at what the Bible says. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, or isn't this where they come from, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." Now, folks, I want you to know something. Verse number 4 is not a new paragraph. It is continuing with the same thought. But look how dirty it gets. "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Now, folks, I hope that by God's grace and His strength, I can adequately explain to you what's going on in the first 5 verses. If I do so, and you really understand it, then I want you to know that verse number 5 is an absolute breath of fresh air that my soul needs. He says, verse number 6 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Let's pray tonight and ask God to help us as we look at this passage. Father, we come to you. Lord, this is like right where we live. Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to have open hearts, open minds, to really see what it is that you've said in your word. Lord, please help me as I explain this. Lord, give me clarity of my own words. Help me, I pray. This is your truth, your word. Plant it deep. Open up our eyes, we pray. In Christ's precious name. Amen. The origin of war has plagued humanity throughout the ages. For example, before the time of Christ, a man named Herodotus, who is known as the father of history, he lived from 484 BC to 425 BC, and he wrote a book entitled simply Histories. And in his work, he conducted a historical investigation as to the cause of war throughout history up to the point when he lived. And he concluded that wars were caused by the relentless drive for power. Somebody wanted power. Another historian who actually followed Herodotus was a man named Thucydides. Thucydides lived from 460 BC to 395 BC. And when he spoke of war and human suffering, he said this, quote, "It will always occur as long as the nature of mankind remains the same. The cause of all these evils is a lust for power that arises from greed and ambition." What I want you to see tonight is that these two historians, very interestingly, are in absolute agreement with James. When James is telling us why is it that there is conflict. Now, James isn't talking about wars between nations. He's talking about the wars that exist right within our own personal life. Maybe a better word for us to understand this is one that I just used a moment ago. What is the source of conflict? Let me ask you a question. Does anybody in this room ever get irritated? Let me see your hand. Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me. anybody ever get frustrated? Yeah? What about angry? Yeah? Where does this come from? It's amazing when you do counseling. I get to do a good bit of counseling. I probably don't do near as much counseling as probably your pastor does or maybe others. But I still, over my years of ministry, I've gotten to do actually a pretty large amount of counseling. And it is amazing when you are doing interpersonal type counseling where you're really trying to help two parties as they are in the midst of a struggle. It is amazing when you start looking and working with them as to the source of the conflict. It is amazing how one party, when you ask them, what is going on? Where is this coming from? What is the problem? One party says, I'll tell you what the problem is. He's the problem! So interesting, though, because over here, they say, oh yeah, I'll tell you the source of the problem. She's the problem. Folks, did you know that the Bible actually never gives us the right in interpersonal conflict to ever point the finger somewhere else? And the truth of the matter is that Christian counselors would be totally and completely out of business if everybody would just realize this, that I'm the problem. Sure, maybe they've got their issues. That's between them and the Lord. But this is what I know. I've got to deal with what's going on between me and the Lord. If every Christian did this, Christian counselors would be out of business. Folks, you know what James does in this passage is he actually tells us what the source of conflict is. This irritation, this frustration. I was teasing the other night. I'm not like the angry blow-up type of person. I mean, some people are. They just explode, you know? Some people, they're just like volcanoes. They just erupt, you know, or they're like that geyser in Yellowstone National Park, you know, Old Faithful. After every 53 minutes, here she blows. You ever say, you know anybody like that? That's not me. I'm not really. I'm more the sit and simmer. Remember, I was teasing the other night. I'm just the kind who just kind of looks at you and smiles, but I'm thinking about how I'm going to take you out tomorrow. You know, it's still there though. There's still the frustration, the irritation. I can feel it. I know. Folks, and really what we're looking at tonight is a passage of Scripture that tells us, where does it come from? So I want us to look at the text here, and basically we're going to look at three words. And it doesn't always help to tell you a Greek word, but I'm going to tell you some Greek words, because these Greek words, they actually two of them out of the three, you can very easily hear an English word that we get from them, and I think it's helpful. Listen to what it says right here, verse number 1. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Where does this conflict come from? Come they not hence? Isn't this where it comes from? Even of your lusts that war in your members. You see that word lusts? Now, we've done some work this week with the word lust. On Sunday morning, we talked about worldly lusts. This is a different word. In a minute, we're going to find that word. This is a different word. This is the Greek word hedon. It's where we get our word and our understanding of hedonism. It's a person who lives for, really, their passions. I really actually think that this word hedon, probably a really, really good for us, word for us to help us in English, is really the word passion. So let's kind of look at that. Let's listen to what it would say. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your passions that war in your members? In other words, you're on a quest for something, and you're getting passionate about it. The reason why I don't want to stick on the word lust is because look in verse number 2, we find the next word. You see this one? Ye lust. Well, that's a different Greek word. This is the Greek word we looked at on Sunday, the Greek word epithymia. It's a word that talks about strong desires. Now, strong desires in and of themselves aren't wrong. But here, it's talking about your desires are so strong that apparently there's wars and conflicts among you. So the first word is hedon. You have these passions that are, he says, at war within you. He said, you lust. You have these strong desires. Let's continue on. He says, verse 2, ye lust, and yet ye have not. He says, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You see that word desire? Here's our third word. It's the Greek word zelos. It's where we get our word zeal. What is a person, when you think of a person having zeal, man, zeal is a good word. It really means that once again, you're really, really passionate about something, and there's something that goes along with this passion. And really, whenever you see the word zeal, it always has attached to it a heated up passion. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted something and you got a little heated up because you wanted it so bad? Have you ever gotten heated up? Folks, these three Greek words, what James is doing is he's telling us the source of conflict. It's our passions that are at war. He says it is our desires. He says it is a zeal that we have for something. But I want you to see what the problem is. Three different times in these two verses, can I tell you what the problem is? You don't get what you want. He says it three times. Here it is. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Isn't this where they come from? Even of your lust or your passions that war in your members? Verse 2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, here it is the third time, yet ye have not. Folks, did you see three different times actually, and it's all actually in verse 2. Three different times in verse 2, here's the thing. We're passionate. We have desires. So much so that we get heated up with zeal. But we don't get what we want. And James says this is the source of our conflict. Folks, let me tell you, the phrase, and this is what I really want you to walk home with tonight, and I hope this will have the impact on you that it's had on me. Folks, it's really this question, this statement that I told you a few moments ago. I really bet that in the last 10 to 12 years, I really venture to say that I have not gone a single week without this question coming into my mind at some point. Sometimes it's coming into my mind multiple times a day. It's this question. Aaron, right now, what do you want? Because apparently I want something and I'm not getting it. And there's conflict. And as you go along in your Christian life, maybe you get to the point where you're pretty controlling of your conflict. You just smile and maybe you aren't thinking about how you're going to destroy them tomorrow, but you still know it's there. You still know there's a struggle in your heart. Or maybe it is when there's just an out-and-out explosion or just a heart full of irritation moving towards resentment. But folks, let me just tell you something. I promise you, if you will hear what James is saying, this question will help you for you to ask yourself, what do I want right now? And who is it that I'm sinning against in order to get it? Now, folks, let me tell you what it looked like and sounded like for me and my wife to flesh this out. As we're sitting in our two chairs in our trailer 12 years ago, working through this passage of Scripture. Whenever it was, 10, 12 years ago, I don't remember exactly. But we're sitting there side by side, working through a Bible study. We would do this once a week, just a Bible study that we decided to do through the book of James. We get to this chapter, and I just brought it up, and I'm looking, and we have some study helps. I'm studying, I'm seeing what the Greek words are, and I'm seeing what it's saying. I'm like, you know what, baby? This text is saying that the problem, when there's irritation, when there's frustration, when there's conflict with anybody, that the problem, you really can't point at somebody else and say, well, they're the problem. Really, I'm the problem. And what I got to do is really get to the heart of what's going on. What do I want? And what does it look like when I'm trying to sin in order to get what I want? And so I just said, baby, you know, let's just kind of talk about it for a minute. I said, you know, I kind of got one. How about this? Now, when we were going over this, it was in the summertime. We were working at Northland Camp up in northern Wisconsin. I parked my trailer right by the camp lake. And there was four lakes on Northland's property, and they were full of fish. And folks, I love to fish. I mean, I'm telling you, I love to fish. But I don't know if you know what camp's life is like. I mean, you start early in the morning, you work all day long, you come home, you crash, you get up, you do it again all week long. I mean, I never had time to fish. I actually walked past the main lake on property, which had just a ton of bass in it. I walked past it, I mean, day in and day out, all day long, every day, and I never got to fish. But then on the weekend, you know what? On Saturday, the campers would go home. We would clean the camp. By noon on Saturday, we were done all the way until 10 o'clock on Monday morning. Guess what I love to do on Saturday afternoon? Man, I love to go fishing. Now, my wife and I hadn't been married long. And before we were married, I worked at Northland for several years before we got married. And I'm telling you, every single Saturday afternoon, me and some of the guys, we would go fishing every single Saturday. And folks, now I'm married. Guess what Stephanie wanted to do on Saturday afternoon? Something other than fishing, I'm going to tell you that. And you know what? It was so funny because me and her, I mean, you know, she's just wanting to have adult conversations, you know, because she's been with Ella all week long. And so all of a sudden, you know what I would do? I would guilt her. I'm not going to get in an argument. I usually would start in on about Thursday, you know, talking about it. Just, you know, bringing it up. Just going ahead and making sure I'm laying the groundwork. Have you ever guilted anybody in your family in order to get what you want? Folks, I didn't even realize how much I did it. But I was a professional guilter. I wanted something. And I was willing to sin against my wife in order to get it. So I threw out that as an example. My wife, I said, what do you think, babe? I said, you got an example? She said, yeah. She said, I'm just trying to think now. Now I'm trying to do the math because Asher was a baby. So whenever this was, my son Asher was alive. He's 9 now. And but he was just a little guy, and he was going along, and he was a toddler, and he's walking. And so she said that she got really upset with him the other day because he had this little toy sword, and he's hitting the couches, and he's punching pillows and all this stuff, and all of a sudden he stuck it in the wrong thing. He stuck it inside the vent of her dishwasher. And she said, I grabbed that thing away from him, and I scolded him, and I popped him on the hand. And the look on his face was just like, you know, very obviously, he didn't get it. He didn't understand what the difference was. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with teaching your child not to stick something in the vent in the dishwasher. But she said, I was so angry, and I had to, like, ask him to forgive me and pull him up because he's crying. He doesn't understand. And she said, I'm just thinking back on that situation. Why was I so angry? She said, you know, what did I want? She said, it's not like I really have this affection for this piece of metal and plastic. She said, Aaron, you know what I want? It's what it does for me. She said, I want convenience. And don't you mess with my convenience. Folks, have you ever sinned against somebody because they've inconvenienced you? Well, I sure have. We started just talking, you know, just telling stories. I brought up a, you know, kind of a funny one. I was at my parents' house, and we when I'm at my parents' house, we'll kind of take a meal if we're there for a week. Steph and Mom will talk, and I'll never forget. Steph comes in and says, "Hey, we're going to take Tuesday night or whatever it was." And I had some meat in the freezer, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, great, man! I'll cook on the grill. I'll put the meat on the grill." Now, folks. I mean, when I'm going to be cooking on the grill, don't mess with me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm in my element, right? And I mean, I got the meat, man. I'm excited. Steph's going to make some potatoes and salad, and I've got the meat, and I mean, I got my own special marinade and all this stuff, and I mean, I got it out. It's thought up. But Steph was going to the store earlier in the day, and I had a few ingredients that I needed, so I texted her some things I needed to pick up at the store. She gets back, and I said, "Hey, baby, you got those ingredients?" And she said, "Oh, baby, I didn't get the text. I'm so sorry." Well, so, you know, now all of a sudden I don't have what I need. It's okay. You know what? I can make do. I can make do, you know? So I'm kind of, you know, but I can make do. We're going to make this work. So I get my marinade. I mean, it sits for a few hours, and that's really all the time that I had to work with. I'd like to even do it longer than that, but it's going to be okay. I get out. I get my dad's grill. This isn't my grill. This is my dad's grill. It's kind of struggling a little bit, you know? It doesn't get as hot as my grill. Man, I like when I put the meat on there, man, I like it to get hot. Fast and hot, you know, hot. And I like it to, you know, the outside to be good and done, but the inside, to, you know, when you cut it, you still want it to kind of go, moo. You know, that's kind of how I like it, right? And I mean, it's just not working. It's just, you know, it's just not hot. It's not as hot as what I like, but, you know, it's going to work. We're going to make it work. I mean, I know how to do this. I'm going to make it work. You know, I get it all ready, folks. It's good. I mean, it's good. I got it all wrapped up in some aluminum foil. I'm pumped. I want to be a blessing to my family. I'm going to serve my family. This is about my family. So I come in, I bring it in to the house. I say, "Hey, everybody, come to the table. The meat's ready." Steph from the kitchen says, "Hey, babe, just put it down on the table. We'll be a few more minutes. We're still working on the salad." Now, folks, let me just tell you something. When the meat's ready, it's time to eat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, salad, schmallet. I mean, potato, schmotato, you know, and so I put it down and I don't say anything, you know, but I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm just like, it's okay, you know, it's okay. It's okay, you know, it's all right. And so they're in there, man, Mom and Stephanie, they're just talking and laughing and all this stuff. Nobody's in a hurry and I'm just pacing, you know, smiling, but I'm gritting, you know. They finally come to the table. Everybody's just taking their time. We all sit around. My dad prays for every missionary that he knows, you know. Finally, I just want to be a blessing. I want everybody to enjoy the meal. I want to be a blessing to my family. And all of a sudden, they, you know, I mean, we finally open it up and we're cutting it. And it's just not hot, you know. You ever gotten irritated because they weren't there when it was hot? I just wanted to be a blessing. You know what? Somehow, somewhere in there, I really think I wanted to be a blessing when I started. But somehow, some way, somewhere in there, this had actually turned from being about other people to somehow, some way, apparently, it was about me. Folks, I wanted something, and I wasn't getting what I wanted. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't show up on time for food when it's hot. But folks, I wanted something, and I wanted it so bad, I was getting irritated. I was willing to sin in order to get it. And you know what? There's actually, this story's a little bit deeper. Guess what kind of meat it was? It was venison. I killed it. My parents are just kind of okay on venison. It's because they don't know how to cook it. Folks, there was so much of Aaron Coffey attached to this whole story. Folks, I wanted something. This was attached to my kingdom. You see, folks, when you start getting to the place where you realize that your conflict is because there is something going on in your heart where we're fighting for our own kingdom. And I want you to see, folks, I want you to see, and I want you to look at verse number 4. And this is still all along the same way. He actually, in verse number 3, is pretty penetrating too, because he actually says you bring this into your prayer life. He actually says that you even pray and you don't get what you want even when you pray. And the reason why is because it's still all about you and your kingdom. You just want stuff so you can spend it on your own passions. And look at the next two words, the first words of verse number 4, or the first 4 words. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. I mean, come on, James. I'll be honest. I mean, for years, I read through the book of James on how many times. It's like, oh, he's kind of moving into a new topic here. He's kind of moved off of conflict. No, he's still talking about the source of conflict. And he says, you adulterers and adulteresses. Whoa. I mean, whoa. Come on, James. What's up with that? I mean, that's kind of a little harsh. So I get a little irritated. So there's some conflict in my heart. But you adulterers and adulteresses? Folks, in what sense does he use those words? Folks, he uses them in the same sense as the Bible uses it throughout the entire Old Testament. Over and over and over and over again, you find adulterer and adulteresses not necessarily talking about a man being unfaithful to his wife, but being used as a picture of the people of God being unfaithful to him. And that's the sense in which he uses it. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, he gives an entire book of the Bible to this very picture, the book of Hosea. Hosea was a preacher. He was a very public man. And God said to Hosea, Hosea, I want you to marry this woman. This woman is going to be unfaithful to you. She is going to leave you. She is going to play the prostitute. And she's going to go after her lovers. And I'm going to use this as a picture for the people of Judah to show them their idolatry is spiritual adultery. Folks, that is the sense in which he uses this. And I want you to understand what he is saying. He is saying that these desires that we have that cause us to sin against our spouse, to sin against our children, to sin against our siblings, to sin against our parents, to sin against our co-workers, to sin against our church family. That these desires we have are out of order. So much so that he says you have a love relationship going on with the things of this world. Your desires, look at what he says. Listen to what he says in verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that this friendship, this relationship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen to verse 5. Verse 5 is a tough verse, but I'll tell you exactly what I think it's saying. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? I believe that the spirit there is talking about the spirit of God. Do you believe that the scripture tells us for nothing that the spirit of God, and here's really what he's saying, is jealous for your affections? Folks, this is something the Bible tells us all through the Old Testament, that we have a God who is jealous. He even at one point says, my name is jealous. Is it right for God to be jealous for your affections? Is it right for me to be jealous for my wife's affections? Or am I just supposed to be okay if she's showing affection to another person? No, we're in a covenant. And I have a right. It's right for me to be jealous for her affections. And it is right for God to be jealous for our hearts and for our affections. And this is how I think we need to understand and take this. When he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, it's really this. Why don't we take it this way? When's the last time you got that heated up over God's kingdom? Really? Oh, I get heated up over my kingdom. I get heated up because I want to make a point that venison is worthy meat. Are you kidding me? Am I really that dumb? Apparently. When's the last time that we get heated up like that? We had that kind of zeal and that kind of passion, not for our kingdom, but for His. Folks, are we out of order? Yeah. And our conflict proves it. Folks, our conflict that we have right within our relationships, right within our lives, proves that we have things we want, and we want them way too bad. Folks, we need to be this jealous for God and His kingdom. Bring this back into verse number 3. Listen how horrible it sounds now. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts, your passions. That's the word passions again. You pray, but you don't receive. And the reason why is because you pray not for His kingdom to come, but so your kingdom will come. Folks, just think about that. It's kind of like a wife saying to her husband, hey, can I have some money, honey, so I can go spend it on my lovers? Why do you want the raise so bad? There's nothing wrong with a raise. Man, I'll take one anytime I can afford to give myself one. There's nothing wrong with a raise, but why do you want it so bad? Are you really bringing this to God so that you can spend it on His kingdom, or so that you in your spiritual adultery can spend it on yours? Folks, what do we want? And who are we sinning against in order to get it? I really think the answer for this is over the next few verses. The answer is repentance. He gives over the next, and I don't have time to get into it, but He gives over the next few verses, I think, the most beautiful picture of what true repentance looks like. And He hits the very heart of it in verse number 10, doesn't He? This was your verse on Sunday, Pastor. I mean, what a great verse. This was the church's memory verse on Sunday. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Be broken over your sin. Repent. Submit. He says, resist Satan. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. But don't stop there. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Folks, He gives us a beautiful passage of what it looks like to be broken and repent. And actually, you know what? This is what needs to happen. We need to repent. Our conflict proves that we are so all about our kingdom. So, here it is. You ready? If I can just leave you with this, maybe you'll have a wonderful opportunity tomorrow to see how it works. to ask yourself the question, what do I want right now? Because I want something. According to the book of James, I want something because I can feel it on the back of my neck. My little neck hairs are standing up because I'm irritated. Your brother, your sister does whatever they do. Your spouse said, you can't believe she said that. Whatever. And maybe you're calm, cool, and collected, composed, but you're irritated and you know it. What do you want? Folks, I'm telling you, we want stuff. And it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And I'll actually tell you this. You actually probably won't be very good at figuring it out. To start with. It actually takes a while. Because sometimes I'm just like, I don't know what I want. And when you really start digging deep, you know, I mean, sometimes you can get overly introspective, but that's not usually, most people aren't introspective enough. But when you start, sometimes you're really actually not good at figuring out exactly what I want. But then all of a sudden, you know what you'll find? You'll find you really start coming to the root of what you want. And you know what you want? Something really dumb. Like, here you go. My son. I actually got a very similar story with both Liam and Joby. I'll tell you Joby because this was the most recent. I walk into his bedroom and here's Joby. As soon as I walk in, he does this. And I said, hey, buddy, what you got? Backs up. Folks, I don't even care what he's got. But now I've asked him. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, buddy, what do you got? Woo-hoo! Son, what do you have? Give it to daddy. All the way back in the corner. I go over, folks, I pull out his hand and I pry his fingers off of a dead squished ant that probably wasn't squished 10 seconds ago, you know? And you're just sitting there looking at him like, you know, what point does their brain start fully operating, you know? But folks, can I tell you something? I'm that dumb. I mean, really? I'm irritated because of deer meat? Folks, when you really start chasing it down, why am I so irritated at my spouse? You know what you'll find? A lot of times you're just like, really? Oh, God. You know what? We need to say, oh, God, I'm so double-minded. My kingdom is so important to me. I fight over dumb things. God, would you help me be this passionate for you and your glory and your kingdom? Folks, what do we want? And who do we sin in order to get it? Who do we sin against in order to get it? You know what? My wife, I have given her full permission. At any time in my life, my wife can look at me, and I don't always love it for sure, but my wife can look at me and she can say, hey, baby, what do you want right now? And it's not going to help me. She's like, so what do you want? But sweetly, folks, it is a reset for me. And then I have permission with her. I'm telling you, all the time, it's just a reset. Hey, what do you want? And we want something that's going to serve our kingdom. And we need to die. Folks, conflict. What do you want? And who are you sinning against in order to get it? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm just going to close tonight. I don't know what the need of your heart is. As I pray and close, would you just commit it to the Lord? Would you ask God to help you? Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you really need to repent. I'm telling you, that's the answer that He gives us in the text. To submit ourselves to the Lord. To resist Satan. To draw nigh to God. To cleanse our hands. To purify our hearts, to weep and mourn, to humble ourselves and let God lift us up. Folks, do you need to repent tonight because this has just really revealed actually some spiritual adultery in your heart? Folks, let's just be real tonight. I'm going to let Stephanie play through one verse of a song. Can we just respond to God right now? In our hearts. What do you want? And who who have you sinned against in maybe just the past day or two?
If you look this way and stand with me, please. Thank you, Brother Coffey, for preaching to us so clearly and strongly, directly. So grateful for it. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day tomorrow, and we'll look forward to closing out our time with the Coffey team tomorrow night with the Irish concert. And, of course, the music will be really interesting, and you'll learn a lot about the different instruments and in Irish music. And but it's really the gospel will be woven in, and it'll be a wonderful time. And aren't you glad that I'm a sinner that needs a Savior, and Jesus is a Savior who desires to save sinners? Aren't you glad for that? And a person, if you're here tonight and do not yet know Jesus as your Savior, look for someone near you and just say, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And that person, if they don't know somebody or they can't do it, they'll find somebody, I should say, can tell you how you can know for sure that you're saved from the eternal punishment of sin and rescued from the terrible consequences of sin. All right. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've told us the truth in the scriptures, and our preacher preached the truth about ourselves. And with this, we are grateful that you are merciful enough to be honest with us so that we can be changed. And so with this in mind, we're thankful for it. And we pray all this then in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.